You are listening to Beefcake's Bootcamp, the last stop before deploying to the front lines in the fight against white genocide. Welcome back to another Beefcake's Bootcamp. A few subjects have come up that I wanted to talk about. And as I mentioned before, the podcasts aren't necessarily going to come out on a consistent basis, but when things happen that could use discussion or a useful tactic shows up for us I'd like to discuss, then I will. And some things have happened. Some very, very good things have been happening for us. And a lot of that is due to the good work of people on our team at the Swarm. Down the order in importance, first of all, what we're starting to see a lot of online, on lots of forums for different political topics, is a disillusionment with the Republican neocon establishment. And what I mean by this is the traditional crowd that supports the neocons and the Republicans have been these, basically they're the white Americans who are the classic, you know, patriot, flag-waving Americans who have sort of bought the false opposition to the leftist anti-whites. You know, the current neocon establishment, the biggest problem with them is they are the false alternative. They basically ratify everything that the left does, you know, and then they're the ones that are going to be out there at the front of the line calling themselves an anti-racist, you know, that want to show how anti-racist they are, and we know they're just showing how anti-white they are. They pretend like race doesn't exist. They're basically an ostrich with their head in the sand, trying to deny that there's a problem there, and that as long as they continue talking about conservative values, we can basically just turn all the brown people into white people, and that eventually the Lone Ranger can get a million Tontos to vote for a Lone Ranger if he just convinces the Tontos to agree with him on those political points. Which isn't going to happen because Tonto is obviously going to vote to have things taken away from the Lone Ranger and given to Tonto. That's just the way it works. You know, that is the big thing that the neocon establishment is now noticing, that they have sort of lost their footing with the voters because they have simply lost their population, or at least enough of it to where whites alone cannot control the outcome of the election. You know, if you look at the actual numbers for the most recent election, for the election of Obama for his second term, more whites voted for Romney. In fact, you would have a staggering landslide victory for Romney if it weren't for the non-white votes. And we've reached a point where the whites alone can't control the outcome of their own elections in America, and now they're starting to realize it. They are starting to realize they cannot vote their way out of this situation. It isn't going to happen like that. And that, of course, is going to create a lot of fear in them because they realize they sort of feel hopeless and helpless. And that's going to make them more receptive to our message because now they're realizing what's happening. There comes a sort of a point where that ball starts rolling faster and faster. It gets to the point where it's hard to push because you're having to run along behind it to push it. We're not quite at that point yet, but it could show up in surprisingly near future. It could be tomorrow, could be next week, could be four more years. But at some point, those whites who were completely hoodwinked by the neocon establishment are going to have to come to terms with the fact that has finally been brought up by Ann Coulter on Fox News, of all things, has said something surprisingly close to the mantra thinking, that is, demographics is destiny. It's this tiny little repeater that is going to be repeated. I guarantee you, you're going to start seeing it a lot after she said it. Demographics is destiny. And when people start talking about that, you know what they're talking about. They're talking about race. Racity, race, race, race. And that when your demographics change, so do your politics. And in that, all of a sudden, people repeating a little line like demographics is destiny, well, they should be quite ripe for the mantra and our consistent message. That is fertile ground for our message to flourish in very, very fast. because now people realize that race does matter. When she says demographics is destiny, she's saying race matters. That's what the underlying message behind her statement is. And whenever you hear a neocon saying something like that, but they don't want to call the situation genocide, you say, so in other words, whites are being replaced to the point where they can't control the outcome of their own elections. You're saying that race matters, but you don't want to call it genocide? You know, and leave the question on them. And of course, we always want to bring it back to white genocide. But again, you're going to see a lot of people that are kind of wandering around not sure what to do after a disaster. You know, sometimes when something blows up, it's not like in the movies. And I've seen things blow up before in real life. People don't always react the way they logically would at first. You know, at first they're you would expect people to instantly be doing triage and helping out the injured and stuff like that, and immediately going to work to do the right thing and help everybody out who they can and all that. In real life, that's not what it's like. There is a temporary time period where people are wandering around like a headless chicken, where they're kind of, their mouth is gaping open, their eyes are big, they have to get their bearings, they're not sure what's going on around them. What just happened doesn't quite fit in their normal little reality, and they are sort of clammed up. They don't know what to do. They're covered in ash, and they are they're sort of zoned out, is what it looks like. And then of course that follows with the, you know, eventually they shake that off, you know, within a certain period of time, and they got to sort of take a look at their situation, assess it, and then react. But there is that temporary time period of wandering around like an idiot, not quite sure what the heck just happened. Right now, that's where a lot of the people who tend to vote Republican are at. A lot of those whites who are those classic flag-waving Americans that are now reaching that point where they realize, wait a second, if the majority of us are voting for a Republican who likes lower taxes, limited government, and, you know, all that happy, fun stuff, but of course are anti-racist because we can't have anyone racist, all of a sudden they're realizing now that race does matter. And even the libertarians, which a lot of the conservatives are now sort of leaning more towards that libertarian idea of more limited government. The war on drugs is now becoming a joke. Everyone knows it is. Everyone knows it was from the beginning. And it's becoming this thing that is being openly talked about. We're seeing a lot of the Republicans kind of moving further over, or people, I don't mean Republicans like the talking heads you see on TV. I want to make that distinction. Not the professional liars like your Sean Hannity's. Where I'm talking about the typical American white guy who waves his flag, calls himself a patriot, and tends to vote Republican. This group has been moving closer and closer to the libertarian side, but they've still been keeping their head in the sand about the subject of race, and so have a lot of their conservative talking heads you see on TV. Until finally Ann Coulter says, demographics is destiny, on the air. And all of a sudden, now they're realizing that you can't have this wonderful limited government utopia if you got a whole bunch of non-whites living with you in an ever-increasing population as yours shrinks, and who are voting to have things taken away from you and given to them. That they can't, that they're going to vote for politicians that'll create disasters for them. And all of a sudden, they can't control it anymore because now their population has reached a point where they don't have the numbers to do anything about it. And now they have to confront the fact that race is real and race does matter. And saying demographics is destiny is saying race matters. And it matters in where your country's going to. And of course, that is to a lot of these folks that want to keep their head buried in the sand about the subject of race. And the big problem I've had with even like libertarians, I might agree with a lot of their stuff, but unfortunately, they don't take a stance on race. They won't define what race is supposed to live in this wonderful freedom utopia of theirs. And now they have to confront that fact. Now they have to confront that demographics is destiny. They have to confront that. They cannot ignore it anymore. And now that they're confronting that, of course they're going to want to deny it at first. Many are going to. You know, there's that three stages to the con. There's the first stage is the denial of the con. The next stage is accepting the con and laughing at it, like, ha ha ha, had a good joke, you know, on me, yeah. And then the third stage is, why are we putting up with this? Now they're pissed and they want to change their circumstances, which is excellent. But first they gotta go through that first stage, and a lot of times when that bomb goes off, the reason people seem out of touch with their reality, besides the fact their nervous system has just been jarred and they're sort of out of touch with that reality, besides that, there's sort of a denial. There's a denial of what's just happened. They've been taken out of their natural element that they thought was so safe, and all of a sudden, something not supposed to happen just happened. And they're going to be denying things the strongest at that moment. Sort of just before making that first breakthrough, the denial is going to be the strongest. Part of it's a fear-based reasoning. You know, it's scary to realize at first that there is a genocide going on against your race. Okay, now it's not as scary when you find out there's something you can actually do about it, which is get on that consistent message and talk about it. But of course, the first stage is going to be denial of it. Okay, then when they start making jokes about it, when people are like, boy, I wonder how things are going to go without us here. We're headed towards extinction, you know, and you're going to start hearing those kind of jokes. Okay, it's a good thing. In the sense that they're moving towards the why are we putting up with this? And of course, we're doing our job spreading those memes. Anti-racist is a code word for anti-white. Africa for the Africans, Asia for the Asians, white countries for everybody. Everybody says there's this race problem. Everybody says the final solution to this race problem is for the third world to pour into every white country and only white countries. And then for us to assimilate, i.e., intermarry with all those non-whites until we create a blended brown, mocha-colored humanity and we're all the same again and we can all get along again. But what if I were to say we should flood every single black country with non-blacks? And tell them that the solution to their race problem is for them to interbreed and intermarry with all those non-whites until they're a mixed mocha-colored countries where all black countries used to exist. What kind of psycho black man would agree with this, and what kind of psycho black man wouldn't say anything about it? But if we want to talk about the obvious genocide against our race being done in only white countries and in all white countries, anti-whites, like respectable conservatives that want to bury their head in the sand about the subject, want to call us evil racist Nazis who want to kill 6 million Jews and clone Hitler. What they are is anti-white. Anti-racist is a code word for anti-white. Okay, and that's an on-the-spot my best attempt at a remembered rehearsed mantra. You know, I can't I. Sometimes I can do it closer word for word, but that gets the basic concepts out. You're showing the double standard. You're showing that everyone says what the solution to it is. All that fun stuff. People call you names for pointing it out. Essentially, you're pointing out that they use ad hominem attacks to silence you from talking about your own genocide. Well, again, you know, this message of ours, these memes that we're spreading, you know, the main memes that anti-racist is a code word for anti-white. We got that wonderful mini mantra that Africa for the Africans, Asia for the Asians, white countries for everybody. It's genocide by assimilation. That it's being done through expecting us to intermarry and interbreed ourselves out of existence. And that message of anti-racist is a code word for anti-white. That all the names they call us are just names they're trying to use to keep us from talking about our own genocide because they support that genocide. And those are the memes that we want to be seen spread far and wide. And our enemy has done us an even bigger favor recently. Yes, our enemy has done us a favor. You see, there's that thing about our enemy I've mentioned a number of times. They love to roll in gray goo. Okay, they love to roll in gray goo. Now, they've tried to avoid our topics on most major media networks. There is a reason you have not heard the mantra discussed on any major primetime networks yet. There is a reason you have not seen people talk about Horus the Avenger and Follow the White Rabbit. people are not talking about bugs on Fox News or on MSNBC, and you're not hearing them talk about whitegenocideproject.com. We're not hearing a lot of that. But very recently, something changed. Or at least someone made a mistake. And they went right for something that one of our Genius Swarm members, I'm not going to say his name, happened to, unless he wants me to, then I'll put it in a future podcast, but I'm just going to keep the anonymity here for this gentleman, made a genius move. Absolutely genius. I underestimated it. I didn't realize that it was going to get the correct response from the enemy, but he went and made a petition for the White House to respond to on the subject of white genocide. And I wasn't that optimistic about it at first because it wasn't really getting the amount of signatures it really needed for the White House to address it, which is like 24,000. 909. It's like 25,000. You need a decent chunk of people to sign it, and we were still below 1,000. Okay, and so I was like, I don't know if it's going to get addressed there, but hey, it can't hurt us. You know, I wasn't that optimistic for it, but I certainly wasn't going to be pessimistic either. It's not going to hurt us, but I didn't realize how good of a thing this was for us. And MSNBC. Decided to pick it up on part of their conspiracy theory story, and they had three non-whites, two black guys and I think Hispanic or miscellaneous, a Chimerican, discussing what was on this white genocide petition. They actually used the word white genocide multiple times. That beautiful meme of ours, white genocide, said several times on this show. They could not have done better for us. Honestly, the only thing they could have done better was to use the whole long mantra, but I don't see anyone, you know, saying the whole 111 words on the live air from our enemy's camp just yet. Although they might start saying, hey, there's this mantra going around and we're going to try cutting it apart, aka they want to roll in gray goo. But they actually did say the mini mantra. That's Asia for the Asians, Africa for the Africans, white countries for everybody. They said that the method of our extermination, that we're saying it's due to intermarriage that's being pushed by the media, and they tried sounding dismissive of the topic, said a message like that is harmful. They tried talking about how maybe it's a reaction to the disillusionment of the conservatives with the conservatives having done a poor job at reaching out to non-whites. These guys seemed clueless as to where it's coming from, but damn well if they didn't stick their dick in the hornet's nest, it is something from the swarm. Yes. Yes, they're rolling in gray goo on MSNBC. They are sticking their dick in the hornet's nest. This is right where we want them. This is what we want them doing. We want more and more of this. This isn't necessarily the turning point for us that where it's all downhill from here. I'm not going to tell you that, but I can say that it is a milestone, that this is a good thing. This is a sign of something good. This is a positive trend for us, for the swarm, for white people, for those who are white and normal, pro-white and on message and on point, to see our enemies talking about our memes on a major media network. I'm a little bit at a loss for words as to the surprise at seeing that. I mean, I watched this thing on YouTube. If you haven't watched it yet, YouTube MSNBC White Genocide, and just see the little YouTube video that was made of this conversation, and it is, wow. I mean, what do they expect? They're going to convince white people white genocide's not happening by talking about white genocide and having three non-whites try to talk about the subject? I mean, I honestly, I'm trying to think in my head if I could have asked them to have done it better than that. It's good. I want to see a lot more of this stuff. I was asked actually if I'd be willing to go on and talk on any of these things. If anyone wants to send whitegenocideproject.com a phone number or something for me to call and the times to call for any radio station that wants to talk to any people who have a crazy conspiracy theory, and would be willing to actually hear me out, not just hang up on me or whatever through the air, I'll give it an attempt. I have had trouble getting through call screeners on a number of stations because the one thing about Beefcake, I'll be honest with you, I'm not always so great at knowing when to shut up. All right, there's a reason I'm talking to you. I do have the gift to gab, the gift to put the foot on the brakes. That is one of the harder things for me to do. But if anyone is willing to have me on there to talk about this crazy conspiracy theory of white genocide, why, I have no trouble going on there and talking about our memes. That's not a problem for me at all. If possible, I'll get the whole mantra in there. But anyway, nonetheless, the very fact that MSNBC now has finally taken that plunge into the gray goo, that's wonderful. I mean, their audience tends to be liberals, okay? A lot of anti-whites. But again, this message is to, again, provoke that reaction from the enemy to get them to start talking about the memes as well. And if you have an anti-white likes MSNBC and thinks that the white genocide message and saying something like Africa for the Africans and Asia for the Asians and white countries from everybody, if they listen to that and think it's a horrible message, you know what they're going to do. I mean, anti-whites are basically have this mindset that it's not okay to talk about politics if you're disagreeing with them. But anti-whites love talking about politics. Yes, they do. Leftists, which are kind of the out in the open anti-white camp, they love talking about politics. They sort of put a meme out there. I think it's one of our enemy's memes that it's socially inappropriate to talk about politics because you always see the anti-whites talking about something anti-white. That's kind of how you know they're anti-whites. So essentially, they're saying it's not okay socially to talk about a message that isn't their message, which is kind of obvious why you'd want to put out a message like that. Duh. Well, essentially, they go out and they say, hey, there's a stupid conspiracy theory about white genocide. Don't buy into it. I think that that is that's fantastic for us if they do that. If they see it and they want to be dismissive of it, that obviously if they're already anti-white, we're not going to make them anti-whiter, but we can make them more vocal and they can use our memes when they talk about it. And so I got to thank MSNBC for running that story. That's fantastic. That does us a favor. And they're probably not listening to Beefcake right now. But if they are, kudos, guys. And if you guys want to try dispelling the myth of white genocide any further, just email the guys at whitegenocide.com with a phone number for me to call. And I'll give them a call and we'll have a discussion on whether white genocide really is real and whether, in fact, it is okay or not okay for only white countries and all white countries to be flooded with non-whites, even though that would lead to our race going extinct, and that is genocide under international law. I'll have this discussion if they want me to, or if any of you other swarm members out there are good at talking as well. I highly encourage you to call them up as well. I know that a lot of our swarm members, there's a significant chunk of them who are very proud to proclaim that they may have Asperger's, which is a particular something that a lot of doctors will call a disorder. I don't think it is. I think it is just a different way of thinking and looking at the world. And I think historically, people who would fall into that category are actually some of the people that have moved civilization forward at some of the most important points because they pay very close attention to detail. They don't fall for brainwashing the same way other people do. They don't tend to go with the flow with the way everybody else thinks. They can handle repetitive tasks over and over and over and over again and not get bored. It's almost like having a superpower, as Horace mentioned it on his thing. And a lot of folks who are Aspies are also very good at talking. And that is something I do think we got more mouths out there on the swarm. So if you're somebody who can discuss our talking points, You might be better than me. You might not be quite as good at me. I'm hoping there's some guys out there even better at it than I am. But a lot of Aspies do have the gift to gab, do have the ability to talk. You know, in fact, some of them may even fall into the category where they have trouble shutting up. By all means, if there's anyone out there who wants to have us on their show, if they like to dispel conspiracy theories or whatever, the bigger the media outlet it is, that's fantastic. There is no wrong way that I can think of to spread our message so long as it is legal. Not breaking any laws where you're at, you go ahead and stay on message and stay on point. I'm glad we've had this victory here of having the folks on MSNBC rolling in the gray goo. These are very positive trends for us, and I want to see all that continue. I want everyone listening to stay positive, to realize that we have taken that hill. We haven't won the war yet, but we've taken a hill. And let's hold our ground, stay on point, and stay on message. And if there is something further to discuss, something I missed, something you'd like to see covered, let the guys at WhiteGenocideProject.com know. And this is Beefcake, signing out.
All right, platoon, that's it for today's lesson. I want you to go drop the mantra 50 times and report back.